today she is Masech to me with Daf Chav Tes, and we will begin on Daf Chav Ches on the Beis at the Mishnah Ra Echav. Says the Mishnah. Our Mishnah continues. In the previous parak we had discussed the Trumas Hadeshin, and our Mishnah continues in discussing the Seder, the sequence of what happened in the Beis HaMikdash every morning. Ra Echav Shiyara, if the other Kohanim saw it coming down, because Machloikis, exactly what does it mean that they saw him coming down? Some of the Farshim say that they saw him already having completed the Avoida of the Trumas Hadeshin. Others say it doesn't mean that he actually saw him completing the Avoida of the Trumas Hadeshin, but rather means that they saw him already coming down to put the Trumas Hadeshin in the place where it belongs, but it does not actually mean that they finished doing the Trumas Hadeshin. Vehim Ratzim Abayim, when the other Kohanim saw him doing this, they would all come run. Why would they come and run? So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat, which will come up a number of times in our shir, is because they were interested in making sure that these avoidas were done before the avoidas shachar, because once the avoidas shachar comes, it's the time for the avoida of the tamid, and everything else cannot be done anymore. So they rushed to make sure that they could get these different avoidas that we're going to be speaking about done before the time of the carbon tamid shachar. Another pshat that I saw is that they didn't want that there should be any hefsek between the Trumas Hadeshin and the Itzas Hadeshin, so in order that there should be no hefsek between the Trumas Hadeshin and the Itzas Hadeshin, they were very careful to run to get this done. Mir Bekach Yudayim Reglayim Nakir, so all the other Kohanim now did Kiddush Yudayim Reglayim from the Kir. Nagulas Nagreifis with Tsunaris, they took shovels and forks, Volul Rosh Mizbeach, and they went to the top of the Mizbeach, Hevarim Ufubidorim, the limbs. And the limbs mean from the carbon oilers, and we know that by carbon oiler, the limb is put on the Mizbeach. So the limbs are these carbonus, and the Bidorim are the fats. The fats of all carbonus are put on the Mizbeach. Shloimus Aklami Be'erif, that have not been totally consumed during the night, they were put on the side of the Mizbeach, because as we're going to learn in a moment, they had to now do the Avoida with the, prepare the ash and take out the ash from the Mizbeach, so they moved these Avram and Bidarim to the side. And says the Mishnah further, Im Ein Hatzdadim Mazikim, if there wasn't enough room on the side of the Mizbeach to put these Avram and Bidarim, Sodom Nosai B'Soiviv Alakabas, they were put on the ledge or on the ramp going up. The way most Mepharshim explain the Mishnah, what the Mishnah means to say is, if there wasn't enough room on the Mizbeach, they were put on the ledge or on the ramp. A Machloikis, what is preferable? Is it better to put it on the ledge, or is it better to put it on the ramp? Some say the ledge is better, some say that the ramp is preferable. There's another pshat from the Rambam. The Rambam's pshat is that it was put on the ramp next to a place where there is ledge. Not all around the Mizbeach was there ledge. And what our Mishnah is saying is, only in a place where there was a ledge, the ramp next to that place, there and only there, were they allowed to put on the Avarim and Bidarim. Why did they have to put them on the ledge, or on the Mizbeach, or on the ledge? Because the halacha is that there's a din of lina, that if something that was on the Mizbeach overnight is not left there, then it becomes pasul. So they have to be careful that the only way it won't become possible with Lina is because by putting it on the Mizbeach, by leaving it on the Mizbeach, and these areas are considered still part of the Mizbeach, there is no Isser of Lina. Tosfos has a different pshat, that there's a halacha that anything that was put on the Mizbeach must remain on the Mizbeach. So taking these Avarim and Pedarim off the Mizbeach before they were completely consumed would be a violation of the halacha of anything being put on the Mizbeach, would be a violation of that halacha. Says the Mishnah, so now that they have all of these Avarim and Pedarim put away, they took everything else on the Mizbeach and put it on a Tapuach. Machloikus Rishonim, what is the definition of Tapuach? Most Rishonim explain that the definition of a Tapuach is that it is a area that looks like a Tapuach, like an apple, like a mound, that's where they put on the Mizbeach the ish that accumulated the ash and the coals. Others say, the Ravitz says a pshat of the Tapuach is that the Tapuach was like a platform, was like a built piece that was specially designed to deposit the ash on it. And says the Mishnah, Tapuach Chai Be'emt Mizbeach, this Tapuach was in the middle of the Mizbeach. Pa'amim Shahoy Alav Shloish Meis Kor. And sometimes there was so much ash on this Tapuach that accumulated to the size of 300 kor. And the Mefarshim point out that even though it accumulated so much ash, as we will discuss in the Gemara as well, there was a tremendous nes that ash never got blown off the Mizbeach because of the wind. The ash remained on the Mizbeach. Regalim lo yemidashnai say, on Yom Tovim, they did not take out the ash from the Mizbeach, because it's a beautification of the Mizbeach to show that there's so much ash in the Mizbeach because it represents that so many kabbanos were bought. That's the Pashut Pshat in the Mishnah. The Pashut Pshat in the Mishnah is that they didn't take out the ash from the Mizbeach because they wanted to show the abundance of kabbanos that there was. There's actually a machloikis rishonim, if this avodah, not the trumas hadeshin, which was discussed in the previous parak, but rather the hitzos hadeshin, was it done every day, or was it done only when there was an accumulation of ash? So certainly according to the pshat, that it was only done when there was accumulation of ash, there is no mitzvah necessarily to do it every day. Our Mishnah is very understandable, because our Mishnah is teaching us that on Yom Tov they didn't do it because, again, it represented a beautification in Mizbeach. But there are other Mefarshim, it's actually the opinion of the Rambam, that says that the ash was done, that there was a mitzvah to take out the ash every day. So according to those Pshatim, how do we understand our Mishnah? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is that even though there was a mitzvah to do it every day, on Yom Tov they didn't do it. Chazal said Sheva Taisa, and don't do this mitzvah to show the beautification of the Mizbeach. But there's another pshat, actually the pshat of the Ravid. But the Ravid says that there's a whole different pshat in our Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't mean Uber Golem on Yom Tovim, but it means Uber Aglayim. The Mishnah is teaching us that when we take out the ash, don't do it with your feet. Don't just kick the ash off the Mizbeach, because kicking the ash off the Mizbeach represents a showing disrespect to the Mizbeach. Noil Mizbeach, what is nice to be done is to do it with the shovels that we spoke about earlier. And therefore, that pshat could very well agree that every day, even during Yom Tov, they took off the ash, because the mitzvah is to take off the ash every day, but it was even on Yom Tov, and the Mishnah is not referring to that issue at all. Continues the Mishnah, Umiyamav lo nis'atzel kahanim lo yitzias hadeshin. The Kohen was never lazy to take out the ash. Pashut Pshat, the Mishnah is teaching us that even though taking out the ash is a job that you have to get dirty, says the Mishnah, it never happened that people refused to get dirty and do what they had to do to take out the ash. Another pshat that the Mishnah is teaching us is that here we're saying that they didn't take out the ash every day, that on Yontif they didn't take the ash out. So one would perhaps think that the reason they didn't take out the ash on Yontif is because they're being lazy, teaches us the Mishnah, chas v'shalom. It has nothing to do with laziness. They certainly were prepared to take out the ash every day. The reason they didn't take out the ash on Yontif is for a whole different reason, is because they wanted to show the Noi HaMizbeach. Furthermore, there's a machlokes amongst the Mefarshim if this avoidah that we're discussing now of Hotzos Hadeshen, was it done with a pious, was it done with a goyro, or was any kohen who did it fine? It really actually relates to another question, which is, was this considered an avoider? If it's considered an avoider, so it seemingly there should have been a pious to determine who should do this avoider. If it isn't considered an avoider, then it could be done without a pious, which really could be connected to the other machlokes that we just discussed a moment ago. Was there a mitzvah to do it every day? On the Mizbeach, as the Gemara teaches us in Masechta Yuma, there were a number of marochas, a number of structures of wood. Now, everybody agrees that there were at least two marochas. One was the Marocha Gedoyla, on which they burnt the most karbonis. The other was the Marocha of where they had the coals that were discussed later in our Mishnah for the Ketairis. According to the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, there was a third Marocha on which they put the Marechas Ha'esh, that there should be a constant fire burning if the other fires on the Mizbeach extinguish. And the Gemara Masechta Yuma teaches us that there was actually a fourth Marocha, according to Ramey's opinion, and that was a Marocha where they put the Evarim and Bedarim Shleimus Achlu. So, in terms of putting the wood on the Mizbeach, says the Mishnah, Hechilu Malim B'Gzirim, they brought up the logs, the Sadas and Marocha, in order to set up the Marocha. Says the Mishnah, V'chi Chol Eitzim, Sherem Marocha, were all types of wood kosher for the Marocha. Says the Mishnah, hey, actually, Kol Eitzim Sherem Marocha, all types of wood are kosher for Marocha. And the Gra says that the reason the Mishnah is taught in a question and answer format is because Chayiv Adam, a person is obligated to learn the Lashon Rabbi, and when this was taught in the yeshiva, it was taught in a question and answer formula. So that's why when Rebbe wrote the Mishnayos, he was careful to put this in the Mishnah in that type of wording. So the Mishnah says all types of wood are kosher, chutz mishal gefim shazayis, except for the wood of a grapevine and of an olive tree. The Gemara is going to give two reasons, whether because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael or because these vines don't burn so well, they produce a lot of smoke. However, Mefarshim give other reasons. One pshat that I saw, because the Mishnah is trying to teach us what children can do on behalf of their parents. That means the children of the grape tree and the children of the vine tree are the grapes and the olives, which are much more valuable than the trees itself. And because of the children, the trees are saved. Another pshat that I saw is a fairly simple pshat. Chazal, the Torah, wants to give everybody a chance, an opportunity to be on the Mizbeach. So the Geffen, the grape, the wine was used for the Nesachim, and the oil was used for the Karvin Mincha. So they already had, so to speak, an opportunity to be on the Mizbeach. Whereas all the other fruits and trees did not have a chance to be on the Mizbeach, And since they didn't have a chance to be on the Mizbeach, that's why these were excluded and no others. But says the Mishnah, even though everything can be used, they typically use the following: branches of the fig tree, shalegois from the nut tree, the shalait shemen of the oil tree. Of course, the Mefarshim say that when the Mishnah says the oil tree, it can mean olive oil, because we just saw that the olive tree should not be used. So some say that there was another tree that was called the eight shemen, but not the tree that produced olives. Others say that's referring to an olive tree that is no longer producing olives, and that's why they used that olive tree may be used. Others say it doesn't mean shemen oil, it means shemen afarsman, which was a sort of a oil that they used for anointing. Furthermore, the Mefarshim point out, there's a question actually in the Mefarshim, is the Mishnah going in a specific order? That Te'ena and then Egois and then Eight Shemen, or does the Mishnah mean to say that any of these types of wood are fine, or is Te'ena preferable? What is the reason, explained in the Mefarshim, that the Te'ena should be used? Because the Te'ena represents the power of Tshuva. Because remember that after the Aveira of Adam Harishon eating from the Eitz Hadas, so the Pasuk says that Adam Harishon and Chava weren't wearing any clothing. V'yachbru eli te'ena, they clothed themselves with the leaves of the te'ena tree. So that was the first time that people began showing the power of tshuva, which is actually represented when one brings a carbon. When one brings a carbon, he's also showing that he means to do tshuva. And therefore, they used eli te'ena. Similarly, the Mefarshim say that the egois was used. For this, we know that Yom Neroyim, the meaning is not to eat egois, because egois is the gematria chet. So again, to show that what the Mizbeach accomplishes is it takes away, it burns up the egois, it burns up the chet, it takes away the aveira. So the Mishnah says, Sidas HaMarocha HaGedoyla. And here too, there's a question in the Rishonim, what is the definition of Sidas HaMarocha HaGedoyla? Most Mefarshim explain, as I said earlier, that on the Mizbeach there was a Marocha Gedoyla, and our Mishnah is speaking about how that was set up. But there are other Mefarshim that say that besides that the Marocha Gedoyla that had to be set up, there was also the Halacha, which we'll speak about later, of Shnei Gziri Eitzim, that two logs of wood had to be brought along with the Karban Tamid. And that our Mishnah is speaking about those two logs of wood. And there are differences of opinion, there are differences in halacha between the avoid of the Siddur Shnei Gzira Eitzim versus the Marocha Gedoyla. The halacha is that the Marocha Gedoyla can be done even before the Alois HaShachar. The Siddur Shnei Gzira Eitzim can only be done after Alois HaShachar, like the Karban Tamid. Another halacha is that a Zor should not do any of these avoidus, but the halacha is if a Zor does Siddur Shnei Gzira Eitzim, he's Chayiv Misa. If a Zor does the Marocha Gedoyla, he's not Chayiv Misa. So again, as I said, most Mefarshim say that our Mishnah is referring to the Marocha Gedoyla, not the Siddur Shnei Gzira Eitzim. There are those that say that it's referring to that, to the Siddur Shnei Gzira Eitzim. Says the Mishnah, Mizracha, they were set up on the east side. The Marocha Gedoyla was done on the east side of the Mizbeach. We'll see in the Gemara why. V'chazisa Mizracha, and there was a window, an opening there on the east side where they kept open. That means that they set up the logs like a structure, like a house, north to south, east to west. But they kept on the east side an opening between the logs. And the logs were so long that they touched the mound of Afer that we spoke about before. The Mefarshim say the reason the Mishnah teaches us this halacha is either to teach us how long the logs were, that they were so long that they touched even the ash. Another pshat that I saw is that they purposely The Mishnah is saying they purposely pushed the logs away from the sides of the Mizbeach, because as we have learned, the Kohanim would walk along the sides of the Mizbeach when they did their Avodah. So in order to prevent the clothing of the Kohanim from getting torn, they pushed the logs in towards the middle that they shouldn't protrude and tear their clothing. Rosh Gzeir Pnim Ha'inoidim B'tapuach V'Revachai Ben Gzeirim. There was space between these logs, Shemitzisin Asalis Misham, that from there they would burn the chips. As we said before, there were also the second Marocha, the Marocha of the coals, Mar Misham Eitzim Ta'inim Yofim. So they took out good fig pieces of fig tree. And here too, the Mefarshim debate, what is the Boru Misham? Some explain that there was a special place where they kept the wood. And the Mishnah is teaching us that from the wood they took out, from that storage area where they kept the wood, they took out the best wood for the Ktoiris. Another pshat is that they set up the Marocha, and from the Marocha they pulled out the best wood to be used for the Ktoiris, which is to set up Siddes HaMarocha Shneil Ktoiris, to set up the second Marocha that they used for the Ktoiris. Keneged Keren Maravis Doraimus. This Marocha was on the southwest corner of the basin of the Mizbeach. As the Gemara Masech the Yuma explains, they put it in the place which is as close as possible to the door of the Beis HaMikdash, so that they should be able to transport these coals to the Mizbeach HaKtoiris, the Mizbeach HaPnimi, and they wanted to do it that as close as possible that it shouldn't get extinguished. Moshuk Menakaran collapsed itself in Arba Amos, but it wasn't right on the corner. It was 4 Amos north of the corner. But Oymed Chamesh Saw in Gecholim, and they had about 5 saw of coals every day. And again, the Mefarshim explained, it doesn't mean that they had exactly 5 coals. The Mishnah says, but Oymed, there was approximately 5 coals. Furthermore, the reason they need so many coals is because the coals had to burn all day outside, because they also did Ketores Bein Harbayim, and therefore they were concerned that some of the coal during the day would get extinguished, so they prepared a lot of coals that in case some of the coals got extinguished, they still have left over enough coals for the Ketores. Or the Shabbos, on the Shabbos when they needed more coals, as the Mishnah is about to explain, they prepared about 8 Sog Gecholim, that's where they kept the coals, that's where they put on this Marocha Shnei Bezichi Levoina Shalach Maponim. On Shabbos they took out the 2 spoonfuls of Levoina from the top of the Shulchan, and they would burn them on top of these coals, so they needed to have more coals from to be able to burn the Marocha. As the Mefarshim go on, as we said a little earlier, everybody seems to agree that there were 3 Marochas. It's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Our Mishnah doesn't speak about the 3rd Marocha. It's not because our Mishnah doesn't hold that there was a 3rd Marocha, because there were special halachas regarding the 2 Marochas, when they're set up, who sets them up. All of those halachas don't apply back to the 3rd Marocha, the Marocha Sa'esh, and that's why our Mishnah doesn't focus on that Marocha. Says the Mishnah, Hevarim HaBedorim Shloines Achlam HaBe'erif, any of the Evarim or the Bedorim that didn't get consumed overnight, Magzirin Oysel Marocha, would be put back on the Marocha, V'tzisu Shtei Marochas Me'esh, then they put on fire on these 2 Marochas, Yard the ball of Lishkas Kazas, and then they went to Lishkas Kazas. The Mefarshim asked a question. We've learned many times that the halacha is that the first avoida that has to be done every day is the avoida of the Karban Tamid. Yet our Mishnah is teaching us that this was done, that they put on Devarim and Bedarim before they did the avoida of the Karban Tamid. So there are a number of terutzim given by the Mefarshim. There are Mefarshim indeed because it is questioned that the Marocha of that this avoda, putting the varim, the darim back on the mizbeach, was actually done later in the day. Was actually done after the carbon tumah. But most mafarshim don't learn that way, and the reason they don't learn that way is was a number of pshatim. The halacha that we just quoted, the well-known halacha that nothing may be done before the carbon tumah is put on the mizbeach, is only today's avoda. But the evarim and bedarim that are being discussed in our Mishnah are the evarim and bedarim that are there from the day before. On those items, there is no halacha that the carbon tumah must precede everything else. Another pshat that I saw is that this avoda was done before Alois HaShachar, something that we mentioned at the beginning of our shir. So since this avoda was done before Alois HaShachar, then there is no, only when this man that of the carbon tumah comes, is there a halacha that you may not do anything else besides the carbon tumah. But here this man of the carbon tumah has not yet come, and since that man has not yet come, you could do this avoid of putting back the varim or bedarim. Another pshat that I saw is, where is there a halacha that you may not put anything on the mizbeach before the carbon tumah? That's only regarding something that was never on the mizbeach previously. But here we're speaking about the varim and bedarim that were obviously on the mizbeach previously. When we speak about something that was on the mizbeach previously, then this halacha doesn't apply. The Mishnah concluded that they went then to the Lishkas Hagozes to do, as we're going to learn further in Amasechta, the different gairolois for the different avoidas that are going to be done in the Beis Hamikdash. Mefarshim explained that why did they have to do the gairol in the Lishkas Hagozes? Why could it not have been done in the Azorah where they are actually standing? So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is that the way the gairol was done, as we learned and will learn, is that all the kahanim stood in a circle. They took off the mitznefes from one kohen to know that by that kohen they're beginning the count. The kohen, the memunah, chose a number, and that's how they began the gairol. But so obviously there was one kohen who has mitznefes removed from his head, and it's disrespectful to stand in the Azorah without wearing a mitznefes. So that's why they were careful. That's why they didn't do it outside in the Azorah. They did it in the Lishkas Hagozes. Another pshat is because, as we just said, they were standing in a circle. So if they're all going to be standing in a circle in the Azorah, we're going to have a kohen whose back is facing the Beis HaMikdash. Certainly a sign of disrespect. That's why they did it in the Lishkas Hagozes. A third pshat is that we know that the Lishkas Hagozes is the place where the Sanhedrin was. And they were always careful to have a member of the Sanhedrin supervise the Goyrol. The reason they were careful to have a member of the Sanhedrin supervise the Goyrol, because there could be disputes or disagreements during the avoid of the Goyrol. So to avoid any such problems, they were careful to do it under the supervision of a member of the Sanhedrin. And since the member of the Sanhedrin was standing in the Azor, was standing in the Lishkas Hagozes, it was only appropriate that they should go to him for the Goyim. Begins the Gemara. Amar Rava, the Mishnah said that at times there was an accumulation of even up to 300 kor of ash. Says the Gemara, it's a guzma. A guzma means an exaggeration. The Farshim explained, what is the Mara mean when it says it was an exaggeration? It either means that when somebody sees something unbelievable, human nature is to make it even sound more than it was. And the way that's done is by exaggerating. Or another pshat is when somebody wants to communicate to somebody else something that was unbelievable, a guzma uses an exaggeration to make his point. Says the Mishnah further, says the Gemara, another example of a guzma is huskus atam bekoshuzov. We're going to learn that before they shechted the animal for the carbon tumah, they gave it to drink out of a golden cup. Amar Rava guzma. It's actually an exaggeration, because Rava says really it was made out of copper. We weren't going to use, as we'll see, a golden cup for the animal, but it was made out of shiny copper that looked like gold. Amar Rav Ami says Rav Ami Divrei Torah Lashon Havayi. Sometimes we find that Chazal use an exact. Sometimes the Torah uses an exaggeration. Divrei Navim Lashon Havayi. Sometimes Navim use a lashon of exaggeration. A Divrei Chacham Lashon Havayi. Sometimes Chazal use that type of a language. And the Gemara gives examples. Divrei Torah Lashon Havayi Diksiv. It says when the Meraglim came back from Eretz Yisrael, they said regarding the cities in Eretz Yisrael, Orim gedoyles uvetzuras b'shemayim, cities that reach their walls reach the heaven. Asked the Gemara b'shemayim sakadatech, did the walls actually reach the heavens? Ella guzma. But the Rama Mepanu says that even though our Gemara keeps on using the word guzma in exaggeration, there is something to be learned. And here what the Gemara was trying to say was that Eretz Yisrael was so strong that we know that all of the nations of the world have in Shamayim, Sorim, have ministers, so to speak, that take care of those nations. Eretz Yisrael, as Aram Gedoyel, so the Tzurif of Shamayim, it's so great that there's nobody besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shamayim, who watches over Eretz Yisrael. Derech Chom Loshen Havoy, Hadamar, when we speak about the Tapuach. And again here too, the Ram Upana says, that teach us that even though the Mishnah says that they would put on a tremendous amount of ash on the Mizbeach, it still was up to a certain point. They did not, the Mishnah is trying to teach us, it wasn't to a degree that there should be, there was without a measure. Vishkas Atam V'Koshel Zov, another example where Chazal used a exaggeration. Dibra Lovim Lashon Havoy Diksiv, V'am Mahalim B'Chalolim, the Tibaka Aris Bekoilam. The Pasuk speaks there about the inauguration of Shlomo HaMelech, and the Pasuk said they were playing flutes, and the ground split. So again, the ground didn't split, it just means that there was a tremendous excitement. Here too, the Ramami Panu says that what is the Pasuk actually teaching us? He says that the Gemara says that Eretz Yisrael was called Eretz HaTzvi. What does it mean that it's Eretz HaTzvi? That just like the skin of the deer expands or contracts according to need, so too Eretz Yisrael, according to the need of people living there, Eretz Yisrael expands. Says the Rambam Panu that the Pasuk here is teaching us that the time in our history where Eretz Yisrael expanded to its greatest size was when Shlomo HaMelech was anointed. The Tibaka Aretz, the land expanded at that time of Simcha at the inauguration of Shlomo HaMelech. Continues the Gemara. Am Rav Yani ben Chneini Am Shmuel. B'shloish mekayim dibru chachamim b'loshen havoy. We have three places where Chazal speak sort of in an imprecise language. Ve'elein, Tapuach, Geffen, or Proikos. What is the point, says the Gemara, Lefukim the Rava. He wants to disagree with Rava. The Tanan, as we just quoted, the Mishnah is going to teach us that Hishkus HaTamid B'Koshel Zov, they gave the animal that's going to be used for the Kamer Tamid to drink from a golden cup. Vama Rava, and Rava said that it's really a guzma. It wasn't a golden cup. It was a copper, shiny copper cup. Kamash Malon. So Rav Yani ben Achmeni wants to teach us Hani In, that yes, the other examples that we've learned of exaggerations I agree with. Hasim Loi, but I don't agree to this example of the shot of the cup, because Ein is for Makom Hashiras. It actually says Rav Yani ben Achmeni did use a gold cup to give the animal to drink, because Ein is for Makom Hashiras. The place of the Beis Hamikdash was a place where they were extremely lived in luxury and even used gold cups for such a purpose. So Mefarshim ask a question. We find actually, it seems, two contradictory concepts. On one hand, we find this concept that our Gemara just said of Ein Anias B'Makom Hashiras. They lived in a very luxurious way. On the other hand, we find the concept of Atayra Chasa Amamayim Shisrael, that the Torah is concerned about extra expenditures. And that's why, for example, the Torah says that when a Kohen comes to examine a house that might have tzaras, so the Torah says, Ufinu Esabayis, they should clean out the house to make sure that there are no earthenware vessels that could get tameh, that will become tameh, cannot become tahor. Everything else could become tahor. And even if you'll say that that isn't the situation of the Beis HaMikdash, but we're going to learn a Gemara on Daf Lamed Gimel, where the Gemara teaches us that they used silver shovels to transport the coals that we spoke about in our mission of the, to the Ketores, because the coals would rub out the shovel. So they used the silver shovel, not a gold shovel. So we see that Chazal were concerned, that we see that the concept of Torah Chasam Amani to Yisrael. So how do we understand these seemingly contradictory concepts? So I saw two Trutzim. One Teretz that the Sefer Yoyim Trua suggests, that indeed, it's up to Chazal to determine when to use the concept of Eranis B'mach Mashiris, and when to say HaTarek Chasam Amani to Yisrael. Another Teretz is as follows. It depends on durability. If it's a Keli that won't get used up, that won't get deteriorated, so then they use the most expensive keli. So yes, to give the animal to drink, they could use a gold cup, because they could use that cup for a very long time. Nothing happens to the cup from the animal drinking from it. Whereas the shovel that's going to get, as we said, rubbed out, so there they don't. It's gonna get rubbed out. So they didn't want to use a gold shovel. They used a silver shovel. So tapuach. What is the example of Tapuach Chadamar? As we've been learning, the 300 kor. Geffen. What is this? What is the example of Geffen that he says is an exaggeration? The Tanan. Geffen Zov Hoysoy Medes HaPesach HaHechel. There was a gold vine at the door of the Hechel. Madla Gabel Klonsois. It was supported by poles. The Komishness Adav Alei. Or somebody donated a gold leaf, a gargal or a gold grape, a yeshko or a gold cluster, navy v'toylaba, would come and hang it on this tree. And if they needed the gold for the different items that they needed in the base Hamikdash, they would take it off this tree, melt it down, and use the gold. Another pshat is that this gold was used as a fund for the Kohanim, for Kohanim who were poor, this is what this gold was used for. Why specifically in a form of a vine? Swampsha is that this is, Gemara is actually referring to the Beis HaMikdash Sheni. But in the Beis HaMikdash Rishon, Shlomo HaMelech had actually had a money tree, a tree that produced gold. So to commemorate that, they used a gold. They had a similar thing in the Beis HaMikdash Sheni. Another pshat is that the Mefarshim explain that the vine is very interesting. Even if a vine isn't producing grapes anymore, it could still be used to support the grapes that grew from it. Similarly, this is a lesson of Schus Ovis, that even if our forefathers are no longer here, even if our forefathers are no longer alive, we could rest on them, and we need to rely on the Schus Ovis. Another pshat is that the Gemara says that the Torah is compared to Geffen. The Torah is compared to grapes. And just like the grape needs a vine to support on it, so too do the Loim Dei Torah, the people who learn Torah, need people to support them. Emein Kemach Ein Torah. And that was taught that they need to give tzedakah to support the learning of Torah. Says the Gemara, now we get to the exaggeration. Amar Lazar Tzadik, Masa Hayiv Nimna L'Shloish Meis Kahanim L'Fnaisai. They needed 300 Kahanim to carry off the silk, the gold from this tree. Which is an exaggeration because it's hard to believe that they had so much gold on the tree. The third example that he gave of an exaggeration was the proichus. The tanan, Rashim Gmalil, Ayim Rashim, Rashim Menesgan. Proichus. And there's a machlaikus in the Mefarshim, exactly what is meant here when the Gemara says proichus. Some say it means the proichus that was between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaGadoshim. Where in the Beis HaMikdash Rishon, which wasn't that tall, they were able to construct a wall between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaGadoshim. But the Beis HaMikdash Sheni, which was very tall, they had to put up a proichus, a curtain, and that's what's being discussed. Others say it's talking about the Parochus that's in front of the Beis HaMikdash, between the Ulam and the Heichel, that they had a Parochus. And says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, the Parochus of your Tefach was a Tefach thick, Al Shivim Mishnayim Nimin Aregis, it was made on a loom with 72 weaving machines, Vakol Nima V'Nima Esra Ab Mechitun, every thread was made of 24 strands, because, as we remember from the Chumash, Parshas Truma, the Parochus were made out of four types of material, Tchelis, Agomen, Tlash, Shani, V'Sheish, and from each one of the materials, they had six strands, 6 times 4 = 24. Archoi, its length was Aboim Amma, was 40 Amma. V'Rochmai, its width was Esrim Amma. U'mishmoinem v'shtayim rigua nasis. It was made out of 82,000. Machloikus, how to understand this? Some say Mishayim v'shtayim rigua means it was made out of 82,000 gold pieces. Others say Mishayim v'shtayim rigua means 82 riboy means girls. 82 girls were involved in manufacturing it. V'shtayim oisim b'kol shana v'shana. 2 were produced each year. V'shloish meis kahanim atbil anisai. And before they used it, they had to take it to the mikvah, and they needed 300 kahanim to take it to the mikvah. And that is the exaggeration. Certainly didn't need that many people, 300 kahanim. It's virtually impossible even to do something that way by putting into the mikvah. Mefarshim explained, why did it have to be put into the mikvah? So one halacha is, one pshat that I saw is, that the halacha is that every keli that's used in the Beis HaMikdash before it was actually used, the halacha requires that it be immersed in a mikvah. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat is that, as we just learned, it was produced by these women. And even though they tried to use women who were never nidus, you can never be sure that perhaps one of these women wasn't a nida and made these curtains tamei. And therefore, before they were actually used, they were immersed in the mikvah. Furthermore, the Mefarshim explained, why did it say v'shtayim oisim kol shana v'shana? Why did they have to produce 2 every year? So certainly, if we explain that we're speaking about the parochus that was between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's more understandable, because we had the Ketoris being burnt on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, which wasn't far from these parochus, and they got ruined from the smoke and the spritzing of the blood towards them that we've learned, and that's why they needed to be replaced. But if we say it's the other parochus, why did they have to make them every year? So one pshat is that they didn't really have to make them every year. What the Mishnah means to say was that it took a shana, it took a year to produce a parochus, but not that they produced it every year. Another pshat that I saw, and this goes back to something we spoke about a moment ago, that actually the Mishnah is teaching us that there were two parochus, one between the Ulam and the Heichel, and one between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kedoshim. So the Mishnah is teaching us that they had shtayim, and every year they made one new one for each one of these purposes. So the Mishnah continued saying, Hechilu ma'al b'zirim l'seid ha'marocha. They started putting on the wood on the marocha, and all wood was fine, chutz mishal zayis mishal gefen, except the olive wood and the gefen wood. Says the Gemara, Hani ma'itama, why are these woods disqualified? They have knots, and the knots have accumulation of moisture, and the moisture prevents them from drying properly, and therefore they don't burn well, or they give off too much smoke. Or, I saw another shot, they actually turn into ash too quickly. We need to have grapes and olives in Eretz Yisrael, so they didn't want to cut down these trees for the Beis HaMikdash, where they obviously needed much wood, so they wanted to protect Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The Machlokes in Rishonim, Rav Ach Bar Yaakov is arguing on this pshat, that these two pshatim agree with each other, they're actually arguing. Or Rav Ach Bar Yaakov is arguing. Meisrei, the Pasuk says, it says in the Braisa, the Pasuk says, Al Eitzim Hashal Eish, Eitzim, you should use wood that could be completely disintegrated into fire. Umayni, dukri shvidi, logs, glikatri, that don't have knots, that will cause the smoke to come out. Continues the Braisa. V'chi kol ha'etzim k'sherim l'rocha. Are all woods kosher? Says the Braisa. Hein. Kol ha'etzim k'sherim. All wood is fine. Chutz min zayis v'gefen. Besides for the wood of an olive tree and a grape tree. Aba eloi regilim. They typically use murbi yishol teina. Fig tree. V'shol egois. Or from a nut tree. Shol eit shemen. V'lezim moisif av shol mayis. V'shol olun. V'shol deko. V'shol chora. V'shol shitma. These five types of woods were also disqualified. Says the Gemara. Bishlam al-Mandam Mishum de Katri, according to the Mandam that says the concern is the gnats. So we can understand, says the Gemara, the machloikus of the Tanakhama Rebbe Leza, Balkamifki. The mass of Rebbe Leza holds, Afagav de Lekatri Megavoy, there are no gnats visible on the outside of these five types of wood, Kivin de Katri Megavoy, but inside there are knots, so let me see, they should not be used. A mass of it, whereas the Tanakhama says, Kim de la Katrim Gavoy, since there are no knots on the inside, Avagad Mavroi Katrim, even though they're on the outside, my sinim, they're still fine. Elamanda Mishum Yishvet Yisrael, but if the point is Yishvet Yisrael, Dekel, so how could the Tanakhama allow a Dekel to be used? A Dekel is a palm tree. Farshim make an interesting point. The Gemara is only asking about the Dekel. The Gemara isn't asking about the Chorav, which was also one of the trees which the Tanakhama and Rebbe Leza disagree over. Isn't a Chorav, a carob, also a fruit, also a food? So we should have had the same question. So from here they say that we see that the Chorav, the carob, is not really considered a serious food. It's not one of the Shivas Haminim. It's not something that's normally eaten. Even though the Mefarshim ask if that's the case. So we know the famous episode with Rav Shimon ben Yochai and his son Rav Elezer that were in the Morah, that were in the cave all those years, and they were only eating Chorav. Why not Kadosh Baruch Hu give them Chorav? So one shot that I saw is because a Chorav lasts very long, and the lesson was that to teach them that the acts of the tzaddikim and the Torah that is learned by tzaddikim lasts, the schus remains a very long time. Another pshat is that the chorav we know was at the opening of their cave. And they purposely, Hashem purposely made it to be a chorav, which is a fruit that people typically don't go for, and therefore nobody will notice that they're hiding in that morah. Amalach, says the Gemara Tameich. If we're worried about Yishvet Yisrael, and you're asking, what about the Dekel? How could the Tanakhama allow the use of the Dekel? We learned in the Mishnah that the most preferable wood is the Taina. But ask the Gemara, Taina, Lesper, Mishim, Yishvet Yisrael. Need we not be concerned by the Taina, by Yishvet Yisrael? Amayas L'chameimah. How do we answer that question? That the Taina that was used, the Taina that allowed the period, the Taina tree that's not making, that's not producing fruit anymore. Dekel Nami, when we speak about the palm tree, according to the Tanakhama, it's talking about a deck of the law of the period that's not producing fruit. Ask the Gemara, or me contain the law of the period. How do we have a fig tree that doesn't produce fruit? Answer the Gemara in Kedirachava. Don Rachana, Macy Taina Chaverta, they bought a white fig tree, the shaitel of a chavot tzavta, and they would rub it with rope made out of the bark of a palm tree, the sarch alabarzel, which would cause the seed to fall out of the tree, the kavri, and they then took the tree and buried it in the ground, where, heicha de masajam sarta, they did it in a place where the sea accumulates sediment, kair avda, and such a tree will have very good logs, perilei avda, but it won't produce fruit, or tlas brich menayim, three of such logs are so heavy, a bridge, if you put three of these logs on the bridge will collapse. Says the Mishnah further, see this Merocha G'dayla, we learned that they put on the Merocha G'dayla with a window on the east side. Asked them on my Tama, and the Mepharshim explained the Gemara's question is, why do they need to have a window? And if they needed to have a window, why did it need to be on the east side? Says the Gemara of Hunar V'chizda, Charam K'dei Shetei Ruach from the Shevespa, that the east side wind should blow into it and cause the fire to grow. That's where they put the chips of wood into that opening to put on fire, and they would take those chips and use the fire wherever they needed it. Ask the Gemara on the second pshat. May say we went in our Mishnah, Rebbe Chaya Ben Exirim. There was space between the logs, Shemitzis and Salis Misham. So we see that the fire for the chips was taken between the logs, not by that window. Answers the Gemara, Amaloch, the Kaimim Kaimim Avdi. There were a number of places where they could ignite these chips, in the window on the east side and in the space between the Gzirim. Hanulach Ruach of Hanulach Ruach of Hanulach Ruach of.